Now, in this particular section, as we've indicated before, chapter 14 here, this man, Ezekiel, has been very careful to give the word of the Lord. And the false prophets have given a background of a false hope to the people. And this man, Ezekiel, is to counteract that. Now, the Lord is just outlining here and making a case of why he judged that city as he did. And you can believe this, that the principles that are put down here are in operation today. They are not inoperative at all. God still judges nations. Now, will you notice, as we come to chapter 14 here, we see the prophecy against the idolatry of the elders and the certain destruction of Jerusalem. Now, actually, this chapter 14 is divided into two major divisions. Both of them open up with "the word of the Lord came unto me." You find that in verse 2, and you find it again in verse 12. Now, in this first section here, there is a call to the elders to repent. And I've noticed that through the Bible, both Old and New Testament, repentance is God's message to his own people, or those who have professed to be his people, to repent, to turn, and turn to God. And that'll be the message here. Now, what has happened is these elders have come to him. Verse 1, chapter 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. How pious these fellows are. They came into church with a big Bible under their arm, and they pretended that they wanted to serve the Lord and wanted to listen to the prophet. Now the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart." Now they were able to say, "Oh, brother Ezekiel, we don't worship idols." That is, they didn't have any of them made, but they had them in their heart. You find that today, this man Samson, the failure of that man. He pretended to be God's man, and the Spirit of God came upon him at times, and that was the secret of his power. Never his hair, no strength in hair at all. And you can go ahead and get a haircut, won't affect you at all. And the very interesting thing is the Spirit of God came upon him. Then there came a day he went out and he wist not. He knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He kept toying and playing with sin, and at the same time wanting to be God's man. How many people today in the church keep toying and playing with sin? And they think they're getting by with it. They're not getting by with it. Judgment is inevitable. They go through the form and ritual of religion, but they have that idol in their hearts, and they continue to keep up a front. Now, God says here, "Son of man, these men have set their idols in their heart. They put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them?" Why, Ezekiel, they're phonies. They pretend that they want to hear your message. They don't want to hear it at all. They're going to put a knife in your back when you turn around. Verse 4, "Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of the iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols." God says, "I'll judge him." Now, this is a frightful, awful word. Our Lord used it more than anyone else. He said, "Ye hypocrites." Now, who's he talking to? Religious leaders. And here, Ezekiel is talking to the elders, those that are the spiritual leaders of the people. And how tragic it is. God says, "I'm going to judge you." And God will judge phony religion. I believe that when a church, as well as an individual, departs from the truth, God will judge. Now will you notice, he says, verse 6, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Now, this man lays it on the line to him. He said, now, you fellas are phonies. You're not genuine. You got idols in your heart, sin in your heart. And let me say this, coming back to Samson again. A great many people say, my, isn't that terrible about Samson? I'd hate to live like that man did. I wouldn't want to have that judgment come upon me. My friend, I'm afraid there are folk that sit in the pew and they would like to live in sin. They would like to taste the fruits of sin. The very thing they condemn outwardly is the thing in their heart they would like to do. This old nature we got's bad. God says, repent. Come to him. And that's what he's saying here. He's gracious to them, you see. He's giving them an opportunity to become genuine, but they will not. Now, we come here in verse 12, and God is making something now very explicit. You see, the false prophets were still running around. God will spare Jerusalem. Why, it's his city. He loves it. He says his eye is there. And my, they could quote an abundance of scripture. And you can quote abundance of scripture for false doctrine today. But the interesting thing is, when you put it all together, it's not a jigsaw puzzle. You have a complete picture presented, and you can't support a great many of these theories. So here he's making it clear, Jerusalem is to be judged. Listen to him now. Verse 13, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and I'll break the staff of the bread, and will send famine upon it, and I'll cut off man and beast from it. Now, God says, I intend to judge that city that is a rebellious city, that has continuously rebelled against me, and I've given them the opportunity to return, and they will not. Now, if you want to know how definite it is, listen to what he says here. And this is one of the most remarkable passages that you'll find in the Word of God. Judgment now is unavoidable. Listen to verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver only their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Now, he says if Noah was in that city, and what a warning he should have been if he'd been in that city. Why, they wouldn't listen to Noah. They didn't listen to Noah in his day. That was the world. Now, do you think these people are listening to Noah? No. And I get rather amused today when I hear about, my, isn't it thrilling that they're looking for the ark over there, and they may find it. And believe me, I think they may find it. But let me ask you a question. How many believers do you think that'll make? I don't think it'll make any. Why, even if Noah was here, who'd believe him today even? Why, they'd call him a square, an old fogey. And there's one thing about a square, he doesn't go around in circles like a lot of people today. And some of these going around in circles today think they're big wheels too. But will you notice, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, now Daniel, why, Nebuchadnezzar listened to him, and what a tribute it is. Ezekiel is the prophet, down with the remnant, but up yonder in the first great world ruler's palace is Daniel. What a tribute there is. These people knew about him. They knew he was God's man up there. And Job. Now, Job was a man that went through a great deal, but if he was in that city, he wouldn't help a bit. They should deliver their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God, but they wouldn't deliver the city at all. Now, God says, verse 17, I'm going to bring a sword upon that land. He's going to let Nebuchadnezzar in, you see now, and he's going to destroy it. And he says, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. And again, God says, I intend to do this. Verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. Why, even now, Noah couldn't save his own family in that city. they shall deliver only their own souls by their righteousness. And Daniel, you remember, saved a couple of empires. But if he was in this city, he couldn't help them out at all. And the reason God got Daniel out of Jerusalem down to that day is the reason that God's people wouldn't hear him, but an old pagan king down there is going to listen to him and make him the prime minister. That's interesting. I wonder today, let me ask this question. I don't know the answer. How many churches are there where the people will listen to the Word of God? And I believe that that's one reason in this hour that God is permitting the Word of God to go by radio. And He's permitted this great movement to the Word of God among these young people today, a crowd that many of us had written off. And I have read many letters to you, and may I say we have several hundred from these kids that became hippies and undoped, and they've been saved. Why? Because Daniel wouldn't have done any good in Jerusalem. But I want to tell you, he's top man yonder in Babylon. No pagan king will listen to him. And my friend, if you folk in the churches are not going to listen to the Word of God, God's going to go out yonder today and get it to the hippies and get the Word out, and it's going today into South America. That's the reason we're so thrilled that's through the Bibles being put into Spanish. And some fella said to me, some wag down in Texas said to me, says, how do you think you're going to sound down there in South America speaking in Spanish? Well, I don't know, because I won't be the one doing it, because I couldn't speak Spanish. But they are taking these messages, putting them in Spanish, and they're given down there. God's going to let people hear it today that will listen to Him. And I think this is great. Oh, this is tremendous.